Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing, maybe episode 54, we don't know. I am your host, Joe Beal, founder and CEO of Microcosm, the autistic publisher, and the author of A People's Guide to Publishing.
I'm Faith Harper. I'm one of Microcosm's authors.
Our most yellow author of them all. Several books that are yellow.
Unfuck Your Brain is her big hit, but Unfuck Your Boundaries is her new one, and it's the best one yet.
And it's tearing up the sales.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the marketing and editorial director here at Microcosm. Today, that meant that I did a lot of data entry.
Oof.
It was awesome.
I mostly soothe people's feelings, so that's really the job of the CEO, if you're curious.
Mm-hmm. Emotional labor.
Emotional labor.
The CEO person is the one that operates on Tinkerbell theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which now Ellie knows means if you believe, everything works.
When we did the strengths test, Joe's top strength was belief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is tacos. Is that on the test?
I do believe in those as well, but it's apparently not in my top five.
So the three of us were just spent the last week in San Antonio, where Faith lives. We stayed with her and ate a lot of tacos. And also, we were at AWP, the Association of Writers
and
Writing Programs.
Which is really not stand for AWP.
I would say it's the big annual writing conference in the U.S.
It's biggest in the U.S., yeah.
And everyone had a great attitude. That's my review.
I think expected attendance was supposed to be 12,000, and I don't know that we got that.
I don't think we came anywhere near. It was probably half that.
Yeah.
A lot of publishers stayed home. Maybe we should have too. I don't know.
We did great.
Some would have shamed us on Twitter.
Some probably did.
My big takeaway from AWP was really dry hands because I washed and sanitized my hands so much. What was your takeaway?
To me, the most shocking detail was that I spent a lot of time meeting and talking to small presses and micro presses even, meaning like smaller than us by like a factor of 100. And I found that a lot of them really felt like, you know, sort of a poet does in their relationship to a publisher, where they were just happy to get time and ink, you know? So even the ones that I would consider publishers and or authors to having been treated completely unfairly, or to be even like having their work exploited, dare I say, were still just kind of thankful to be getting help at all, you know? And that was sort of shocking to me because, you know, I guess I'm like scrappy, gritty of that variety, so it's hard to see people accepting being treated that way. And so my big takeaway was that, like, we can do better, and I spent a lot of time meeting and talking with them about how we can do that, and we do have a concrete plan, and it does involve software and busting up monopolies, our other favorite topic on this podcast.
Next to tacos.
What was your big takeaway?
It was really interesting to me, especially since this isn't my path to being a writer, is all of the students there who were getting close to graduation and really looking ways to like bring forth that creativity and continue. And so talking to them, because that's not my experience. I didn't do an MFA. Or, in fact, even all the MFA tables, nobody even talked to me. I just don't have MFA vibe. I'm a little sad about that. And so that was the thing that was interesting to me, was seeing all the people who, you know, want to write and want to continue to be creative and were really looking for tools and resources for that. And so that was super cool that they were thinking about it already versus like my dumbass who didn't really think much past like the thing that I was doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was perplexing to me too, that, you know, while I feel that I look young, I was accosted many, many times over by MFA programs asking me if I'm currently enrolled in a different MFA program and if I would come to their program. And I did meet people that had graduated from three sequential MFA programs, and only one place that asked me where I was a professor. So the perception that this environment is such that you would just keep going back to school and back to school and hope that it would have a different result the 80th time was concerning in the same way, you know, that this was sort of the machinations for becoming an author. That broke me a little bit, too.
So I spent most of my time behind our table selling books, and this is one of those events where, like, we go to a lot of events where, like, most of what we sell is, like, books on the topic of the event. Like, if we go to a witchy tarot conference, like, people mostly buy our books about witchcraft and tarot. If we go to roller derby, people mostly buy books. Well, that's one where they go deep. But if we go to, like, a punk festival. People mostly buy the books about punk, and this is one of those rare events where people like go really deep. They aren't just buying the books about writing; they're also like finding the obscure thing we published 20 years ago that's someone's handwritten travelogue, or a book about punk music, or a vegan cookbook, or a book about queer rights, or mental health. And so I really wouldn't expect that of this event. I would expect people would mostly be like writing, creativity, and unfucking my brain. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
So I guess my takeaway from that is like people who are writers or want to be writers like just have a lot of curiosity and want something more, like want more meaning from the world. And what is being offered by maybe some of our fellow exhibitors at the event, like by MFA programs and by like the industrial complex, the literary industrial complex that's growing up around this, like, dream of being a writer, is so narrow compared to, like, the scope of what people want. And you can kind of see it when you're, like, walking around and you're seeing the covers of the literary journals and all that. It's, like, lots of beautiful art, but not, like, necessarily a lot of, like, vision, I guess.
And it's the same
scope
thing
of imagination.
Yeah, when I guest teach at PSU, Portland State University, that's sort of the number one, I feel like that's the only reason they bring me there, is because I'm the one publisher that tells them that there are kinds of books other than writing the great American novel.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I mean, I heard it 6-7 times minimum at AWP where people would come up and they'd say, this is the best booth here, meaning we're the only one that isn't selling MFA programs or poetry,
the products of MFA programs.
Or literary fiction, yeah. And so by what they mean is, like, the books are, you know, you have humor books, you have graphic books, you have weird books, you have, you know, you're, like, breaking the mold of how I conceived of books.
And, I mean, I think the thing is, like, we're reader-oriented. This is, like, a very specific thing we do. Every book we publish, it's, like, it has to be developed and written in a way that is about the reader, not about the writer. And the literary industrial complex, to use Joe's phrase, is all about the writer. It's like producing things that are like writer oriented overtly, and it's like about feeling like you're a writer, about having a lifestyle where you can say you're a writer, about like knowing other people who are writers and doing writerly things. And those networks can get you a six-figure book deal if you play them right and have the right levels of privilege, but also like for everybody else, like trying to reproduce these cultural forms is a losing battle.
Yeah.
And there's like so much more you can do, so like go out there and be original. That's right. What I want.
Less intellectual masturbation, more useful tools.
Yeah. And I hate to say intellectual masturbation because nobody's like sitting there and thinking, I'm intellectually masturbating. They're like, I'm doing something brilliant, you know?
But they're just way too close to it, is the reality. Yeah. And so they're all of the, if your entire environment is people writing intellectual poetry or writing literary fiction, then your ghetto is so deep that you cannot see the world around you.
Yeah, so, like, I think the way out of that is to, like, think about the person reading the book and what they'll get out of it beyond just, like, quality, you know? Like, high-quality literature is not a service to readers.
Well, and I say that, too, coming from, you know, the ivory tower of intellectual masturbation, which is academia, and working on a peer-reviewed research journal and writing a dissertation and it, you know, all that. Is there anything in this paragraph that actually makes sense, or is this just a total wink? And it's a total wink because that's the rule. And it's, you know, refreshing to do other things and have accessible work.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with beautifully written novels. I read the shit out of them, but there's more out there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, and I feel like that's the only reason Microcosm was successful at all is because, like, I didn't grow up in, like, the myopic world of that stuff. So it was like I didn't know it existed and I didn't care. So
and they wouldn't have you.
They, you know, no, you're right. They wouldn't have me. I was trying to spin a joke on that and it was not forthcoming.
Yeah, sorry.
But
it's just the truth.
But then when you don't grow up in that, you know, milieu, you grow up elsewhere and then people are into it. I've heard this feedback so many times where they're like the purpose of the independent small presses are that you aren't confined by having to only produce titles that sell 50,000 plus or having to produce something with such stringent guidelines that your likelihood of success is less than 10%, you know? You really can fill in the gaps of things that sell 3,000 to 5,000. That's a good day's work, you know?
And I was most inspired there by the people who are dreaming bigger. Like, we met the Micro Press Contagion Press.
Mm-hmm.
They're based in Seattle. They're super rad. They publish this, like, queer, witchy shit. It's, like, a little bit... You can tell that people have gone to college and maybe gotten PhDs. Like, it's a little academic, mm-hmm. but it's not, like, you can't read it. It's, like, cool.
And they're not afraid to commit crimes, which is what I respect mm-hmm. about them.
And their books are beautiful. And mm-hmm. they make them themselves... They also have a print shop in their basement and a bindery. And, like, I don't know. They're just... I feel like they are looking beyond the boundaries of what we most of us unconsciously think we can do, and they're like doing something that's so true to themselves
yeah.
and so true to what their readers want. And I watched people just magnetically be drawn to their table.
Yeah. And they also had hustle at the conference in a way that I thought was really appropriate, speaking of boundaries again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were coming up like, hey, we're here, and if you're into this, we're over there, come say hey. Like, it didn't feel like the people like, my book is brilliant and it would be brilliant anywhere, and y'all are just dumbasses that don't understand my brilliance kind of pitches. And you're like, I guess so.
I met one, I don't remember the name of the company, but they had started a publishing company at the same time as they started a publishing podcast, and they were publishing their own books and interviewing other authors.
You know, you go to these events and people are wandering around, you know, pitching themselves or pitching, you know, their product or whatever. And there are, you know, people that are doing it in this, like, my book is amazing and you should buy it and you should buy it immediately and it would fit in any catalog because, like, I just, like, look at my halo. And you're like, really, bro? And they didn't do that. They came up and they're like, hey, you know, we're here and we're queer. Or they came up and they said, hey, we're doing this thing and we ended up showing up anyway and we're over at this table. If that's your vibe, come say hi. And they were, like, respectful of people's time and boundaries and energy and weren't presumptive and weren't ego-driven. They were just like, you're cool. I think we're cool, too. Like, let's hang. And I liked their vibe. And I think that's what a lot was attracting a lot of people to them, is they had this way of being there and, you know, selling themselves in a way that didn't feel like they were, you know, showing up at your door, like, wanting to talk to you about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I guess my final thing that I got from AWP was, like, the power of people banding together who have things in common. Like, we were right next to Haymarket and PM Press. Mm-hmm. Or actually, we were originally next to Haymarket, and PM Press moved to be near us, and we all have kind of a similar niche in the sort of, like, mostly nonfiction books for radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And that made us a very attractive part of the room, even though we weren't in a very prominent part of the room. We actually got more foot traffic than people that were nearer the entrance because there was just, like, so much visibly going on, and it was putting out the bat signal to the right people. Yeah.
We were also right by the bathrooms, and so people were walking to go to the bathroom, and they were like, I'll be right back with my wallet. So mm-hmm. that was helpful, too.
Everybody
table near a potty, yeah.
All right.
And oh my God, if you're doing an event, have gender-neutral bathrooms for people. What the fuck? It's 2020.
Thank you, Faith.
2020.
2020.
AWP did, I'm just saying. But not everybody does.
Yeah.
Which apparently we still have to say.
This has been A People's Guide to Publishing. Maybe episode 54? We're not sure.
Something like that.
I am Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, author of A People's Guide to Publishing, and your host sometimes.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the marketing and editorial director of Microcosm, and I think when Joe says he's the host sometimes, that might be a dig at me for being bossy, but I'm proud to be bossy.
Boss it.
I'm not a host. I'm just Mrs. Green. I'm Faith Harper. I'm one of the Microcosm authors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.